Pierce at the Breweries with Brian Noonan.
Oh, it's been too long. It is at the Breweries. And I am joined, as always, by John Carruthers from Revolution Brewing and Jesse Valenciana, who just made it in the nick of time from Goose Island. Oh, my gosh. John and I were ready to cut you loose, Jess. Sorry. You're late and you're gone. Well, welcome back. Happy New Year, fellas.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Brian.
That Jesse is pulling beers out of his coat pocket. He's like, you're like Felix the Cat with his bag. You're just, oh, here, and I've got another beer here, and this is going on. If you are new to the segment at the Breweries, the guys come in and they review three different styles of beer. They pick one that is kind of the baseline and then try another one. Today we are going to try Saisons. We are going to try Mexican lagers and stouts.
Porters.
Oh, very nice. So, but we'll start... You know, we haven't talked in since December, so I know there's some new things happening. What's happening new at Revolution? You got a couple new things going on.
Yeah, just off those 5 minutes I spent dry in January, we have got a new everyday IPA. It's 4.3% alcohol.
Nice.
In 15 packs. Literally just launched last week. It's still going on into stores, but okay. I really like it.
I just had it today. It's fantastic.
Yeah. The lazy dad in me loves the 4.3% ABV.
Yeah, because a lot of places I'm seeing are coming out with that, because for a while everything was heavy, and people are like, well, I can only have one or two. I can't drink these during the day and be... You know, coherent. So it's nice. Everybody coming out with a lower ABV without sacrificing any of the taste or the quality.
Yeah, I wish I participated in any athletic endeavors because it'd be the perfect beer for that.
Yeah, nice. And then you've also got a new beer created by some of the female employees at Revolution that's coming out.
Yes, Spirit of Revolt. So this is back. It was a draft only released last year. It is now in cans, so buy it at a store near you. This beer goes to benefit this local charity, does great work, called Connections for Abused Women and Their Children. So everyone who buys this, who drinks this, who enjoys this, does a little good with it, too.
Very nice. So beer and a good cause.
Yeah, and we're throwing an art show at the Tap Room on March 8th to, you know, kind of... culminate the whole fundraising effort.
Very nice. Spirit of Revolt. And the art on the can, one of the employees came up with that?
It's this art's based off a sketch by one of our bartenders. Her and her husband, both talented artists, kind of concepted this character. It's supposed to be like, you know, every Chicago woman.
Very nice. So that's Spirit of Revolt. It's on sale now in cans, and it's still on tap at the tap room?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Perfect. All right, go. What's new at Goose?
Oh, man, I don't know where to start. We've got a really cool event coming up in March, Women in Brewing at the Brew Pub on Clybourne. So in keeping with, you know, Women's Month, and it's been pretty awesome, the stuff that we're doing. We've got some events throughout the year that we're going to be doing to support, you know, Women in Brewing, which is cool.
That's right, man. Women's Month. That's 12 months of the year, baby.
Yeah, that's right.
It depends on where you live, but yes, definitely, as it should be. You also had the fun Dibs release.
Oh, my goodness.
Which you crushed. Thank you. I was not playing. That was, I wanted to get out just because I had gone through dry January, and I was like, ooh, I need a beer. And so I went, and I had no intention of debating, and you kept... Hey, you gonna do it? You gonna do it?
He was.
That's a spot on Jesse.
He was sitting there going, "I'm not gonna do this.
I wasn't. Then, I just went to have a
not
beer.
Now,
I was
not
have
yet.
One beer. Yeah. That was it. One beer. I had two, so I was pretty good. I only had two.
And you should know that when you're near me, you're not gonna have just one beer. So.
Well, that's true.
Most anticlimactic thing I ever heard. I was only gonna have one beer, and I'm like, oh man, I can't wait to hear where he woke up in jail.
No.
He's like, but I had two. I'm like, man, that's the worst way that story could end.
I know, but I was trying to be very responsible. It was the middle of the day. Plus, I was coming off not drinking for a month.
Oh, I hear you.
So two of those porter. I was, that was plenty.
No, God, I'm glad
I wanted to have more. But
punch
I was
a police horse or something?
No, not at all. But I did punch. Verbally punch the guy, who thought he was going to destroy me, and I just laid
you did more
waste.
Than punch him. You were Mike Tyson. You Mike Tyson this kid.
Did you ever see 8 Mile, John? You ever see 8 Mile?
Yeah.
Where at the end, Eminem. doses this guy so bad he cannot respond.
Yeah, I think I'm wearing that hoodie.
That was exactly what happened. To the point where he turned around and he went, I have nothing. You win.
That's nice.
We fired him because we're like, this is weak.
Yeah, he was an embarrassment.
I mean, my favorite part of craft beer is always watching the light go out in somebody's eyes.
So you've got the big Goose has the big event in March for Women in Brewing.
We do. We're also going to be Goose Island is going to be at the James Beard House March 1st.
Oh,
yes.
All right.
Yeah. So
is that your thing in New York?
It is my thing in New York.
Very nice. So tell people about that.
So the guys from Steadfast, which is amazing restaurant in downtown Chicago. Their chef Ender and I and Chris, who does all of he's their patisserie chef. Yeah. So we're putting together a 6-course, 3-appetizer dinner at the James Beard House, and everything is paired with a Goose Island beer. 2 of the dishes are paired with Virtue Cider, and there's a bunch of different beer, actual beer as ingredients in the courses. So it's pretty fascinating.
Very nice. Yeah. Sounds good. All right, let's get into it. What is our first style that we are going to experiment with today?
So we're bringing it back in gently. We're going to do Mexican lager, crisp, ooh, refreshing. Everyone's had a Corona or a Modelo or a Tecate.
Never.
So we have got the classic Modelo, and I just picked this because this is my favorite. Negra Modelo, even better.
Did you bring any limes?
I love the
Negra. I did not bring any limes. Ugh, it's weak. At the brewery, not at the orchard.
Let me ask this. Yeah.
Limes grown in an orchard?
No.
Yeah, sure. On trees.
Lime orchards in Florida.
I have always been steadfastly against putting putting lime in a beer. Is that, am I doing it wrong?
Realistically, my exception is Mexican lagers.
So what sets a Mexican lager apart from, old styles of lager? What makes a Mexican lager a Mexican lager?
Well, Mexican lagers are essentially just, they were Vienna lagers.
Okay.
And then, Tecate, the Modelos of the world, kind of took off, and that was the style. There was a big influx of different immigrants that came through, European immigrants, and the Vienna-style beer took off.
Yeah.
And, Mexicans kind of claimed it as their own.
And you think of places where maybe you've gone on vacation in Mexico. It's usually hot. It's tropical. So a nice crisp light beer goes perfectly with sitting on the beach.
Oh, totally. And that's the whole citrus thing. My dad, my grandfather used to own bars, and he said the reason there was limes in beer, and I don't know if this is a story that he came up with, but he said that the beers would come in open trucks.
Yes.
So there was always dirt top of them.
I've heard that same reasoning.
So you'd grab a lime, slice it up, throw the lime at them. They would clean the top of the can and just kind of like squeeze, put it in the can.
Which is counterintuitive. If you've used the lime to clean off all the gunk,
as a rag?
Yeah, and then you've jammed it in your beer, it'd be like taking the bar rag and, ooh, this is delicious.
That's like the suicide of beers.
So what do you like? What do you guys like about Modelo to make this the baseline? Because I like Modelo. I like the Negra Modelo a lot.
I love
that one's such a great beer.
So good.
So good. People get scared of it because it's dark. But it's darker, but it's still almost just as light as the regular Modelo.
Yeah. We've talked about this before, too, with when people see like a Guinness and they're like, oh, I don't like those big, heavy beers. It's too strong. And you're like, this is like a 4.2, and it's so light. I mean, it's just the carbonation's a little bit different, but...
Right.
Yeah.
But what we like about Modelo, what I like about Modelo, it's really straightforward. It's refreshing. There's flavor to it, but it's not that like cheap, grainy, kind of corny.
Yeah.
It tastes like a lager that someone spent some time wanting to make nice for you.
And it says especial on the can, so it means it's special.
Oh, is that? Oh, that's
what
it means.
Got me. That's what got me.
Because it's a special. What's an ABV on this?
That is what I'm looking at right now.
And do these count calorie-wise? Are these are not light beers, right?
No,
they're regular,
no,
but
they're lighter on the palate. What I really like about Modelo and like Tecate is like they're so light on the palate and they're really effervescent. Mm-hmm. So like when you're eating a taco,
they go with great with food.
Yeah, yeah, they complement whatever you're having.
Yeah,
it's like a cheat sheet.
All right, so what now? We've had the baseline, which is Modelo, and everybody. There's a place near me that on Fridays the Modelo Toro bars are $4.
Ooh,
so I've enjoyed
it. Nice.
Yeah. I've enjoyed some food with a few Modelos. Close enough to walk, which is also a benefit. So what is now? What are we going to compare for our comparison beer?
So this is Cruz Blanca, Mexico Calling. It's a lager especial.
Oh,
4.7.
A special lager.
Oh, is it? Oh, okay.
But this is like me and Jesse have wanted a Cruz Blanca beer on here forever. Jacob, the brewmaster, just does amazing work over there. And they also have a heck of a kitchen, so all their beers tend to really have that kind of culinary aspect in mind.
Yeah.
When they're brewing there, is obviously the priority is the beer. But is there also an eye toward, ooh, this is do they collaborate? Does the kitchen and the brewery collaborate, or does the does one react to another, I guess, is what I'm asking?
Well, the great thing about what I've seen at Cruz is Jacob is this, like, mad scientist, and he's got a brilliant mind, and he gets to really run that beer program the way he wants it.
Yeah.
And the food's just fantastic, and there's always going to be some kind of crossover.
Okay.
You know, I'm sure Jacob, he does this really amazing coconut toasted coconut IPA.
Ooh.
That he doesn't make enough.
Yeah,
Jacob, I hope you're listening. But yeah, they use the kitchen, and they do this like toasted coconut porter too. And so there's stuff that they're using in the kitchen that they're incorporating into their beers, you know,
yeah.
And that just naturally lends to these different pairings that happen there.
Now this one seems a little heavier,
creamier,
little creamier, less effervescent than the Modelo. Still light, but just there's that different texture on your tongue when you take a drink.
It's a little thicker, and it's more balanced to the malt, so it's got a little bit of extra malt sweetness. Then you'll also notice, if you look in your glass, it kind of holds the head a little longer than your Modelo does.
Yeah,
it's really pretty.
It's real good, though. I mean,
almost too pretty to drink, but not so pretty that I will not drink.
I have not met the too pretty beer yet.
All the beers. Cody, yes, now you're looking longingly. You are welcome. You know you are welcome to come in. He gets very jealous.
He should be. I mean, these are good beers.
What other? So in the Mexican lager family, for the traditionalist, you mentioned Modelo, you mentioned Corona. Is there something, if somebody other than the Cruz, which people can pick up at the store too,
mm-hmm.
is there another one where you'd go, yeah, if you want to delve in, here's another local brewery that's doing a Mexican lager really well?
Well, there was kind of like an explosion of Mexican lagers in the last couple of years. So everybody but now does like their version of it. I feel Cruz is making the best one. I mean, that's like if you want to spend a little bit more and go beyond the Modelos and the Tecates, the Mexico Calling is the best beer. I love it. It's a crusher.
It's really good.
I throw a lime in there. I don't know if they hate me for that, but that with lime is so good.
I would wonder that too. If Jamie or any of the brewers are like, you don't need to do that with ours. Our canning system is clean.
Yeah.
You don't need to scrub off the top. We're good.
I just close my eyes, pretend I'm on the beach. I'm like, here, that's what I'm doing.
So people should be looking for in a Mexican lager effervescence, mm-hmm. lightness, a little bit of citrus flavor.
If you put the lime in, I mean, naturally
it should have.
Naturally, I mean, it doesn't. You gotta squeeze your own fruit, but I could see where. I mean, it's. I don't know if it's just that it's a perfect pairing and that we have trained to have citrus in it so many times that I think it just works great.
Yeah.
What's the ABV on this one?
4.7.
4.7. So that's another one you could enjoy throughout the day.
Yeah.
And into the night, and then the next morning.
Yeah.
Brush your teeth.
Breakfast beers.
The guys are here for At the Breweries, 312-981-7200. If you have any questions regarding not only the styles of beer that we're talking about today, but any type of beer question, you can follow the guys too. John, give us your Twitter handle.
At UT Chicago.
And Jesse?
At Jesse ManBQ.
Jesse ManBQ. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be back with more. It's WGN. We're here until 7 o'clock with John Carruthers from Revolution Brewing and Jesse Valenciana from Goose Island. Trying to get to the music without knocking over one of these beers. We've talked about Mexican lager, and now we are going to move on to Saison. Is that correct?
Yes.
I'm noticing, John, that these saisons are giving you trouble with pouring. There seems to be copious amounts of, I was going to say copious amounts of head, but that sounds wrong. A lot of foam in these beers.
It's a family show, Brian.
I understand, but what family?
Manson
depends on
family.
Your family. So is that a thing with saisons that they're very foamy?
Yeah. So that's a Belgian characteristic. Is that the way they're carbonated is almost like if you carbonated an American beer and then you kept going like another 50%.
What's the purpose of that?
The Belgians love that clean, crisp feeling on the palate. When it's super, something super carbonated doesn't linger very long.
Okay.
And Belgian beers have a lot of cool, like spicy or funky or sweet or sour notes to it. And something that effervescent helps you experience those flavors without getting just like totally sick of it by the time you hit the bottom of the bottle.
Is a Saison the same as a farmhouse ale, or are those different?
Farmhouse is just kind of a term people throw around, but Saison style beers were traditionally brewed at farmhouses. But honestly, farmhouse beer could mean anything these days.
So what then, Jesse, is a Saison?
So the Belgians, actually, they made the Saisons, and the Saisons, like the farmhouse ales, are Saison and Beer de Gardes. So the French would make Beer de Gardes, where the the Belgians were making saisons, which saison means season. And the romantic story
means beer to save.
It does. Wow. So the romantic story for saisons.
See, people think all we do here is drink beer. We're educating.
No, we are educating people.
It's drunk education. It's dreducation.
It's a new show name next week.
we're coming up with new words. Exactly. We got to call Cicero and be like, "Hey, add this into your books."
So what are we? What? So back to the French made the one, and the Belgians make
saisons. So the romantic story was the beers would get made on these farms. So the farmhands that were looking for work would pick the farms based on how good their beer was.
Oh.
Because they would be how much? It was like you'd get like a certain amount of beer from each farm each day.
Okay.
And the saisons were always lower ABV, so you could, you know, essentially have one and still
and keep working. Yeah, and, yeah.
Yeah, and that's how it came to be named like that. I think the seasonal farm workers were known as, and I don't speak French or know it.
Mon.
But if I'm speaking it like a dude from the Midwest who saw it in a book, it's a saisonniers.
Saisonniers.
Ooh. So.
Savoir faire. Yeah.
And then also, though, the saisons, the beer was being made, essentially you were, you know, filtering beer, or water, I'm sorry. So there wasn't very good ways to, the water wasn't great quality. So beer was like another alternative to drinking, you know, water that can kill you, essentially.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah. So what is our baseline for saisons?
This is the classic Saison DuPont. This is something you can find pretty much any decent liquor store.
Yeah.
You know, plus your great liquor stores like Binny's and what have you. Please send us stuff.
yes, you can. Binny's, you can sponsor at the breweries here on WGN. Call our fine sales staff. Cody, do we have a number? Doesn't matter. Cody will find a number.
Yeah, so this is just Ooh. Sorry, Cody.
No, he's not going to find it. No.
Cody's sorry.
I might have cut off a great bon mot because I'm not looking at him.
Yeah, don't worry. He has no bon mots. Bon mots.
Getting a lot of French today. Yeah, this is a good show.
I like it.
We're going to have fries afterwards. It's very exciting.
Frites.
We're doing frites. Oh, sure. Steak frites.
Oh, are we doing mayo then?
Yeah.
All right.
So this is a great farmhouse brewery based in Belgium in a town that I'm not going to insult by trying to name it. This is a very available, not super expensive beer. This big, tall bottle, $10.99.
Yeah.
And this is a beer that
I think it's
actually
even less than that. I think it's like $7.99. It's for what it is.
I was going to say, I have a bottle of this in the fridge that I got somewhere, and I haven't drank it. But now that I've tried it, it's delicious.
Yeah, so this is an absolute classic. I mean, this is what I judge every Saison I have based off of.
That's the baseline Saison. We do, at Goose Island, we have Sophie, which is our Belgian style farmhouse ale, and you know you taste Sophie and DuPont side by side. It's amazing. You see the parallels between both beers and the inspiration from this beer to that beer.
Well, we will continue with our saisons, and we will continue with at the breweries. John Carruthers is here from Revolution. You can follow John at UT Chicago on Twitter, and Jesse Valenciano is here from Goose Island. Follow him at Jesse ManBQ, and of course it's GooseIsland.com and Revolution.com to find out everything about their breweries. So we will talk about the guys' pick for their other saison and so much more. We'll do that after the news, which comes your way after this on WGN. We're here till 7. John Carruthers from Revolution Brewing is here. Jesse Valenciano from Goose Island Brewing is here. And we have already talked about Mexican lagers, which were delicious. All of this will be a podcast. Modelo was the baseline, and then we tried Cruz Blanca's Mexico Calling for delicious Mexican lagers. Now we have moved on to saisons, which are Belgian and very foamy, as I've learned. That's right. And then there were a lot of French words that I didn't understand. But we the DuPont
Saison DuPont
was our baseline. It comes in like a 750 milliliter bottle.
Mm-hmm. John, a cork.
John almost lost his eye.
Almost decapitated.
I saw that. I
very
was right
frightening.
There for that.
That thing. That and you said that's not. So if people are like, "Oh, I was going to go buy that, but I like my ocular cavities intact," this is not a normal thing.
Literally pointed anywhere but at the ground of your face, and I think you'd be good.
Can I jump in here for a second?
Sure,
you did a pop up. Corn dog event last year, and you were a pirate, so you were so close to actually being a pirate.
Yeah, that would have been. I would have loved to see the different.
Terrible, but great.
No, it would have been cool because you could have put all Revolution's different logos on your different eye patches, change them for the mood or the event.
How much would you charge to get a goose patch on there?
You guys are leaving out that I'm a huge Peter Falk fan, so it probably would have got, you know, me a Peter Falk eyeball. I think that would have been pretty cool.
That would have been cool. Then you could have changed those out too, like put a snow globe eyeball in there, shake it around.
Oh, that's neat. I like that.
Just one more beer.
I thought you said you were a Peter Falk fan.
That's my Peter Falk. I'm still workshopping it.
All right, I got some
aisle classes left.
He's not trained.
It doesn't show. Let's go back, shall we? Let's go back to the Saison. So Saison DuPont was our baseline, and now we move on to a new Saison, the one you guys are going to talk about.
The Saison Move On.
So this is Prism from just down 65 at Perennial Artisan Ales. These guys make
fancy.
Great beer, but this is also... And I was sneaking some sips. Sorry. This is a very, like, American take. Like, it's got that Saison character, but it's clearly, you know, dry hopped with some cool, new, fancy dry hops. Like, you get it right on the nose, but I think it works.
It's very hop driven. I like it.
Yeah, it's much more hoppy than the Saison DuPont. And you know, I always fear too many hops.
Mm-hmm.
This is not too many. This is almost, for me, like, right on the cusp of too hoppy. When you take a style that is well established, like a Saison, obviously as a brewery, you want to try to do something new with it, make it.
Sure.
How strictly should you try to adhere to what made that style so popular, as opposed to then making this your own version of this?
Well, that's actually a good segue. I also brought some SPF from Goose Island, which is a Saison base with passion fruit.
Okay.
So. For me, I love a good base beer. You know, there's so many great beers out there on their own, but I love beer is like that way for brewers to kind of show off who they are,
right?
You know, and they're artists, so like they're all inspired by somebody. But I like to see what comes out of that inspiration. You know, I don't like to set parameters on beers.
But for the SPF, you started with a traditional Saison, correct?
Yeah. And then Sophie, which is right. Yeah, it's not your traditional Saison, but it's got a lot of similarities to Saison DuPont, but it's made way differently,
right.
But it's kind of like our ode to that beer.
Okay.
So it is close to like a DuPont, but then here we go, and we just bump it up with these tropical fruits, which is awesome.
Ah. Well, that always adds a little something. So where would you guys put this? And this is from Cascade? Is that what Cascade Brewing?
Perennial.
I like it. I think that the yeast is doing a lot less work here, but they don't have this, you know, strain that's been perfected in a lonely farmhouse in Belgium for years. So I think that a lot of what they're doing with the dry hops here mimics a lot of the cool and traditional flavors of DuPont. Also, if you just want to not hear me ramble about it, it's a good drinking beer.
It's a good beer.
For those uninitiated, well, first Cody's like, I have to jump in. What, Cody? What? Just jump in.
What is it, man?
Wait a minute. When have you ever stood on? Oh, you are? Hold on. Oh, there you are. Yeah, because I had to turn on the Van Halen.
My mic has been on. I've been trying to be heard. No, I had to jump in now because we're doing this segment. A listener who is bilingual and speaks French pointed out that really we should be saying Saison. Cézanne is a post-impressionist painter. So if you are over in Europe and you order a Cézanne, they may look at you oddly. So Cézanne is the way to do it.
Hence my disclaimer about how stupid and terrible I am at speaking other languages. Thank the listener and note that they fall on ignorant ears.
Cézanne.
So it was a madam, yes. Cézanne. Yes.
Well, thank you.
A thousand apologies to the French, to the Flemish, to the people who took at least a couple of years in high school. I know I'm terrible.
I took Latin. Do we have any Latin beers coming up? I can translate those.
Ooh.
No.
It's a dying language.
For the uninitiated, what's the difference between regular hops and dry hops? Because I know I've had a couple from both of your places that were dry hopped, and I have some other dry hop that I've got. What does that mean? Are all hops dry when you throw them in?
Well, in the brewing process, when they're added. So on the hot side is when you add the first round of hops, and if you want to dry hop it like we did, we've 312, everybody knows, it's our wheat ale. Last year we released a dry hopper version of it, so essentially
in the black can.
Yeah,
that's phenomenal.
Super sexy can.
It is very sexy.
So we ended up doing.
I only drink it in my underpants.
that's double sexy.
Yeah, but what makes that different from Schlitz?
That's true.
True. Less tears.
I think all beer is sexy. What does that tell you? I'm either really sexy or I have a problem. But anyway,
go on with your
explanation.
The dry hopping, it's the latest edition of hops, and it pulls out a lot of the aromatics and a lot of the flavors, but not that bitterness. So, like, that whiff you get when you crack open a beer, you get a fresh draft pour. A lot of that character is from the dry hop. And if you dry hop extra, super expensive to do, you also just open up these new flavors and aromas you can't get any other way.
I really hate that you use the word whiff.
Yeah. Whiff. I put it as H-W-H-I-F-F. Yeah.
How would they say it in French? Whiff?
Whiff.
Whiff.
Oh, I don't know.
Whiff.
We're going to really offend not, so many I'm, French people.
I am whiff. Happy with myself for not slipping into the Pepe Le Pew accent, because, you know.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, good for you. So, all right. So, we obviously like Saison DuPont.
It's so good.
Did we say DuPont the right way?
DuPont.
You don't know. Cody,
I'm just going to spell it D-U-P. I like that D-U-P-O-N-T.
DuPont. I like that word.
I'm shouting it out. The thing that on this show that's so fun is, like, me and Jesse, every time we bring on a classic, and we're like, okay, we're just bringing this on because it's like the boring bass line. Start drinking it, we're like, oh my gosh, yeah, this beer is so good.
That's why it's the bass line. Yeah. That's why it's the one. And we like the Prism.
I like the Prism.
I really like
it's
the
not,
Prism.
Like, it's not, I'm trying to say this in a non-unbearable way, but like the way they achieve the same end with like a different Google Maps route to the same place is like super cool to me.
Now we had
I like that.
312-981-7200. We had somebody holding on who hung up, but Doug had a question. He's been cellaring some beers. He had a question about a 2015 Goose Island. How long can you cellar a beer? What's, you know, now that we're 4 years into it, and you know my feelings on cellaring, just drink the beer. It's beer. Come on. I mean, let's not be goofballs.
All beers are meant to be drank as soon as they're purchased. Right. You know, realistically, you talk to any brewer, that they want you to taste that beer.
Oh, hold on. Doug is back. Doug's back.
I am back.
Doug, hey. You're back. What's
hey, Doug.
Your,
what, I return.
What beer are you cellaring, Doug?
Well, let's see. I've got about 40 bottles down there right now. My first one was the off-color Radiolaria.
Hmm. What style is that?
And
old.
That one, I haven't touched any of them yet.
Can I ask why?
Aged beers, certain types other than IPAs, tend to mature, like wine. And I actually have a 2015 Curio, Allagash Curio, that's from red wine barrels. And that one has some red strings in it, but I also know that if I open it, it foams over. I know it's no good. So, but I also have the complete lineup of 2015 Goose Island Bourbon County sitting there. I know four of those are bad.
Yeah, I mean, some batches weren't.
I can't remember which ones are the bad ones, but I know that the proprietor's is, and I believe the barley wine.
Oh, Jesse's standing up. He's punching the air. So, what are you? So, you want to know when you should drink them, or what?
Well, I mean, I don't know if I can look at a beer and tell from it if it's bad, because I do have a bottle of Enjoy After 10/31/16. It's an IPA sort of, and I don't know if it's still good, but I'll find out if it turned into a barley wine or not. But I'm just wondering how well my Goose Island Rare might have cellared, because the big thing is I was going to sell it because I wasn't going to drink it. But then I decided, you know what, I spent $65 on a bottle of wine. I know they're getting about $150 to $200 on my beer cellar. And I'm going to Stockholm, and I have a couple friends there that are just beer fanatics and have never even had an opportunity to try this. I'm wondering if it's going to be a problem if I take it there and share it with them, if I should worry that it might have gone south on me.
No, I just had a rare 2 weeks ago.
2015?
Yeah.
Okay.
I still have one left of 2011, but beer held up. Yeah.
Wow, yeah, that beer could have finished its PhD by now.
I was going to say.
Oh, I'm telling you, the 2011 is one that, that's like the Apex Predator of, sorry, that's another beer, but.
Yeah, that's off color.
No, that's a great beer.
Not the comment, the brewery.
Right, yes.
I say drink it, share it, and don't make any money off it. Just share it, man.
Enjoy it.
No, I'm going to, but I don't have a fear because it's a stout. It should have cellared well.
Well,
you should fear because you're flying with a bottle of beer and like, man, it's always like just touch and go.
Oh yeah, that it just explode.
Yeah, just because you know.
I haven't even broken that little seal on the box. I'm going to take it in the box. I'm going to open it up. Let them chill it there. We're going to drink it. And the one guy works at a bar which is on a boat called the Hemisberger Jarl in Stockholm, and it's a hostel. And he took me to Brewdog in Sweden, and it's like real Brewdog, not the stuff from Ohio. And it's very different. And I'm going to let him keep the box and the bottle on the thing and let him take it, and it's just going to be that.
Cool.
Well, Doug, so, you are into this. You are in. You're like the master's degree listener of this segment, which we always appreciate.
I dig it.
I like that
too.
Can I tell you what I call myself? Because you guys, Revolution and Goose, both make great IPAs. I mean, you know, yeah. Revolution's like the apex, you know, up there.
Thank you, sir.
But, I love watching these guys high-five themselves.
Goose IPA has become what I call my internet beer, my affordable beer that I just sit there and drink while I'm on the internet. But I call myself a hop slut. I don't know if you can put that on the radio or not, but...
Find out in 7 seconds or less.
I think you're good. Doug, thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Have a great night. Let's take one more quick call from Mickey before we get into our final style. Hi, Mickey.
Hey, I'm not exactly the professor. I'm more like the first grade.
Listen, we like freshmen as well as graduate assistants.
Good beer is for everybody.
Yeah, good beer is accessible. That's why we love beer.
Yeah. Well, here's what I'm looking for. I'm one of those millions of mindless beer drinkers that love Blue Moon, so I like a wheat beer, and I also love that little bit of coriander orange. I just discovered a Lost Coast tangerine at a bar, and I'm equally in love with that. Do you have any other suggestions along those lines? I don't like Shandy's or any of that real, you know, sweet beer, but just the hint.
Mickey, if you can promise a stranger via the radio one thing, you promise me that you'll buy some Allagash White.
Yes.
It is phenomenal.
And nothing wrong with Blue Moon. I would never call you mindless for liking what was a pretty cool and revolutionary beer at the time. But get this Allagash. It's made by this great small brewery in Maine. I went there last fall, and it was like Disneyland for guys who look like me. Allagash White. You'll be able to find it most anywhere. You know, check the date, make sure it's relatively fresh. But, man, get that beer. I think you'll love it, and I think you'll keep buying it because it's pretty easy to find in Chicagoland.
And if you want to get
does it have a strong ale taste, or is it milder? Like
no,
the,
it's mild. It's mild. It's easy drinking. Yeah. It's got that coriander. It's got that wheat. It's got that citrus flavor you like. I think this is right up your alley.
And Whitaker, if you get a chance.
Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. Appreciate it very much, guys.
We have one more. Well, hold on, Mickey. We got one more
for
you.
When you,
Mickey right. doesn't care. He got one.
I hope
beer,
he's listening.
It. Yes, please listen.
Whitaker is also another very
excellent
underrated
beer,
but it's so phenomenal. I actually got into that before I got into Allagash White because it used to come in cans.
Yeah,
and they had on Mondays at Lava Lounge. I'm dating myself.
Back at the Limelight
at the Sock Hop.
$3 a can of Whitaker, and now. When people ask me for $7 when I order Whitaker, I kind of...
Makes you cry.
Yeah, it does.
All right, we've got one more. We're going to talk about porters. We're going to do that after this. The guys are here for At the Breweries, John Carruthers at UT Chicago, Jesse Valenciana at Jesse Manbecue, GooseIsland.com, Revolution.com. Let's do this, then we'll get our final style, WGN. We are moving into our final style of the day, which is a porter. Jesse, what is a porter other than a delicious dark heavy beer?
It's not too heavy, but porter was named after the porters that used to drink this beer in London, in England. So it's an ale, a lot of malts, obviously dark because of the dark malts. And actually, when people talk about IPAs being the first beers that have, you know, hops or like really showcase hops, porters are very heavily hopped.
What is the difference between a stout and a porter?
It's pretty slippery, but porters tend to have a little more of a roasty quality to them.
Okay.
And stouts are just a little bit sweeter.
Yeah.
Okay. So what is our baseline porter?
This is Samuel Smith Tadcaster Porter. You can find this just about anywhere for like $4 a bottle. I mean, this is like one of the OG English porter classics.
I love Samuel Smith.
Really,
their oatmeal stout, their lager.
Their oatmeal stout is
so good.
Samuel
Smith makes just good beer.
Mm.
But so, you know, it's roasty, it's dry. If you kind of swish it around a little bit, it's not a heavy beer.
No, it's not. We talked about this earlier, and we've talked about it before. It looks like it should be molasses, but it is not. It's got an effervescence to it.
Yeah.
It's like a dog that has a bad bark and no bite. It looks like it should really knock you down, but it doesn't.
Yeah. And again, going back to the porter, the porters would drink this, you know, on their breaks or lunch breaks and then after work. And that's how porter became there.
So are they heavy, high ABVs, or are they low?
No, between 4 and 5.
Yeah.
You get some bigger ones over at 6.
Misleading.
But, yeah.
You know, where you'd look at it and go, that's got to be like, you know, thinking back to some of the barrel age stuff where, that are 9, 10, 11. For this to be 4 or 5, it's
yeah,
nothing.
It's not yeah. bad. And yeah, if you could just lift heavy stuff off a boat all day and keep drinking this, I mean, that's a... That's an endorsement of its sessionability.
Yeah.
Maybe we do that next time. We see how much heavy stuff we can drink and how many porters we can drink.
I'll just watch and drink. I'll judge you guys.
I like that this was invented in England and not like Long Island, so it's called porter and not longshoreman.
Yeah. Be on the waterfront, knit cap.
Let's lay off the knit cap jokes, right?
Listen, I'm trying to be as hipster as you guys, you know, cause I'm growing the beard. I'm trying to, you know, I don't have the tattoos yet.
Brian, that H word, that's a bad word for me. Don't, come on.
Well, the brewer, I guess the craft brewer look. That's, how about that? Is that
I'll,
better?
I'll take that over.
We do look like two brewery guys. Look. I can't,
yeah,
can't even say anything about that.
No, it's a look. There's nothing wrong with it. So, all right. So the Samuel
Smith
is our baseline porter. And what have you brought as your test porter?
We went a little wild on this. This is from Illuminated Brew Works. That's another local brewery. They make some cool stuff. They'll do
they have cool parties.
Anything with a beer.
Cool,
but this
parties.
Is called Pazuzu's Petals. So this
it's a frightening can. It like Nosferatu.
Nosferatu.
On there.
This is called, and it's funny, I forgot this when we were talking about this earlier. It's called a farmhouse porter with black cardamom. So it's got a little bit of that cardamom character to, like, you know, to go with that.
Boy,
roasty
it's
kind of
completely different
it really
than,
is,
the,
right?
Than the first one.
I think it's too the nose is a little
yeah, there's something about it.
It's
I'm
that
not,
black cardamom.
Yeah.
What is cardamom?
It's like coriander.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is. It's not my thing.
Well, you know, here, you want me to give a dramatic reading of the label wrap?
Please do.
Make that face, though. Make the Nosferatu face.
Okay, but we are on the radio.
It's fine. People are watching on
the... It's got the Exorcist thing.
We got about a minute. All right. We got to talk to Karen
Get Kahn. Possessed by the sinful pleasures of bitter chocolate, coffee, dark fruit, smoke, and herb, and this homage to everyone's favorite Babylonian demon and his love affair with the bicycle.
Wow.
I don't remember. I didn't.
That is weird.
Wow. Yeah. The bicycle part threw me.
That's
I hadn't read that all
the
way through.
At the
what
end.
Are the spokes going to do? I'm not a fan. I don't enjoy it. Roger, you wanted to
say
something?
Quick question. So,
yes. We got about a minute.
Just jump in.
Quick question.
He said quick.
So all of these brews, it's like
Roger.
They've added something. Like it's a basic brew and somebody decides to add this. Now, what makes that? Is it a lot of experimentation before they decide, oh, this one will work?
Sometimes a brewer thinks, I bet that'd be cool.
Yeah.
And that's really what happens.
Oh, okay.
And sometimes you're adding flavors that go with, you're adding adjuncts that go with the flavors that already exist in the beer.
So the brewers then do have some type of scientific knowledge of what might work with a certain type of brew.
Yeah. Wow.
They also
to
try
to enhance it, to make it set it apart.
A lot of it, most of it is experimentation, you know.
Okay.
You don't know how it's going to taste until you make it, you know.
It's like when I put Flamin' Hot Cheetos in my chili and I was like, boom, genius.
Sounds
perfect.
Genius.
Another real quick question before we take a break, because then Karen Conte will come in. Somebody wants to know what happened to Bock beers. They always came out around Easter. I've always heard it was one when they cleaned out the tanks. So, Bock.
Oh, they'll be out soon. We're actually putting one out at Revolution real soon. Totally for Rev Bock. But we got, you know, you can always find the classic German Bocks at the store. It's a great style.
Okay, so they're still
Metropolitan has a double Bock out right now.
Yeah,
that's
really?
Very good.
Yeah.
Metropolitan,
they make
awesome.
Some good stuff, Metropolitan.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Let's take a quick break. Next time you guys are in, we're going to start doing like an after show. So we're going
like
to continue
like
this.
That.
We're going to continue this after. But we'll take a quick break, then we'll say hi to Karen Conte, and we'll keep drinking because that's what we do. It's WGN. All right, my thanks to John Carruthers and Jesse Valenciana. We will be back next month with another edition of At the Breweries. We did the Mexican Lager. We loved the Modelo, but we really like Cruz Blanca's Mexico Calling. We did Saison. So we like Saison DuPont. The other one from
Perennial
was good, but Saison DuPont is the one. And then for the porters, we of course loved the
Samuel Smith,
and the Pazuzu's Petals. Not our cup of tea. All right, so Karen Conti is on her way next. Cody told me we did not have time to talk to Karen. Karen, so you know, I had time to talk to you. Cody is a taskmaster, and we're late anyway. So we will talk to you again for a short show next week. Hear the sounds that matter. The top 5 at 5 from the Rokan Show with Anna DeVellantes. Weekday afternoons on 720 WGN Chicago. Smart speaker users, just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. Thanks for listening and being part of the program tonight. This news is sponsored by Team Hochberg. It's 7 o'clock. Roger Badish.
Week.